have a goal and an attempt for a future here at this radio station so we can continue to do the things we've been doing for so long. But it will start with the listeners, as always, because we are listener-sponsored. We are reliant to those individuals who give so generously to make sure that this thing, this experiment, continues to happen. So, the number to call to show your support is 212-209-2950. Or go to give to WBAI.org online. That's 212-209-2950. Or give to the number 2 WBAI.org online. Okie dokie. It is now 3 p.m. Stay tuned for Resistance Radio with John Kane coming up.
Welcome to Resistance Radio, and as Reggie mentioned, we are on a fun drive, and so I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about something that I don't do that often anymore. I actually got a premium that I'm offering for a donation to this radio station, and I'm going to talk about that premium, that offering, that gift that I'd like to send to those of you who are willing to make a contribution of $75 or more. What I've done is I've secured some copies of a book that I came to New York to do a book launch just a few weeks ago. My first trip to New York in over 3 years, so it was a bit of an adventure for me, a bit of a test because I haven't traveled much, and as some of you may recall, I've been injured a little bit, so I've been I'm trying to recover from all of that. But it was great to come to New York. I was glad to see a bunch of the Resistance Radio WBAI listeners at the book launch. We did it down in Washington Square Park at the Judson Memorial Church. And you know, I like the venue. I like the location. I may do some events going forward with that location and try to pick up my pace as far as making the trip to New York and doing some live events from time to time. And of course, all in the interest of supporting this radio station. Look, I know you're hearing this on a regular basis, and I'm going to pound it during this program. Just as you're hearing it before the program, after the program, the number to call to make a contribution to WBAI is 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. Or you can go online to give to WBAI.org and make a donation there. Follow the prompts. Look, if you make the phone call, the operators will walk you through it. And if you would like to make a donation of $75 or more, I'd love to send you a copy of the Mohawk Warrior Society. The subtitle is a Handbook on Sovereignty, Survival and Sovereignty. It is a book that I have contributed to. I actually have a small section in there, maybe 5 or 6 pages, I don't know, where I discuss my interpretation as far as being a warrior and the role that I've played, the role that I continue to play. But and of course, how I was influenced to be in that position. The book is basically based on much of the writings of somebody that many of us call our mentor, and that's Louis Hall. We knew him as Gorunjak Daje. That was his Mohawk name or his Ongwehoy name. And he wrote a lot. He was actually writing, almost hand typing out a newsletter that he sent out on a regular basis. He wrote everything from what was called the Warrior Manifesto to the Warrior Handbook, and that's what this book is based on. It also has several sections that were transcribed interviews with people that I've had on my show, folks like Degarundegue, some of you know him as Paul Delarone, Francis Boots, Lorraine Thompson, Gontanetta Horn, different people that I've had on the program or I've had on my podcast. These are people that have been involved in Native issues, been involved with what really got dubbed the Mohawk Warrior Society and something that we embraced. It really did get these guys were very, very much involved in all of that. So they gave interviews that were transcribed into sections of the book along with mine. It is a really good read. If you know, it's funny. I did a show just last week talking about what it's like living here for me here in Seneca Territory. If you want to understand what the life has been beyond me talking about the issues on a weekly basis, if you want to understand a little bit what that life is, this book does a good job with it, both with the interviews and just reading what Louis Hall had to say. Now, this book, I had some copies donated from the Louis Hall Foundation. That is a foundation that has archived much of Louis' work, including his artwork. The book in the center section has a bunch of a bunch of photographs and some of the artwork that he's done. Some of you may recall, I probably mentioned on occasion, that we use this flag that we called originally the Unity flag, but it has come to be known as the Warrior flag. That was designed by Louis Hall. He was an artist, he was a writer, a philosopher, and the foundation that archives a lot of his original art and a lot of his writings is something. And I'm actually a board member. I'm on the board of directors of the Louis Hall Foundation. So I was able to secure some copies. So I am offering it for a contribution of $75 or more. Don't be shy. Look, if you can do better, then by all means do so. I'd love to send you a copy. In fact, I'll even throw my signature on it if that matters to anybody. Like I said, I have contributed. I have a section in there called "I Am a Warrior," and I encourage you to read that. Sometimes I don't get into my personal story that much, other than the activities that I'm involved in. I don't talk about the role that I've played in things from long ago, and this delves into it a little bit, talks a little bit about family and that kind of stuff. So it is a book that will offer you insights to who we are, and you may be able to understand a little bit how it is that we have come to have this disposition that allows us to, again, to be resistant, to stand up to Canada, stand up to the United States, stand up to the provinces, stand up to New York State. I mean, we literally stood toe to toe with the Canadian military and the what is called the Oka Crisis, or where they invaded one of our territories called Gunasadage. We have really been there. I mean, and I have been grateful to be a part of much of that over the years, and stand with some of the people that have contributed to this book. So it is a great book, and I don't just say that because I wrote a small section to it. I just know who was interviewed. I know I've gone through the book myself. I also know who Louis Hall was, Gurdun Yaktaje. I know I was, fortunate enough to have not only met the man, but got to, got to know him enough to call him my friend. So again, a powerful book, and it really is a handbook on sovereignty and survival. It does lay out a little bit how we came to be called the Warrior Society, how we came to be called warriors, as opposed to just those people, those men in our community that would defend our community, and why we allowed even that moniker to be attached to us, why we thought, you know what, it invokes a little bit of fear. And after, you have to remember here, we are talking about fighting Americans and Canadians. I mean, we have certainly had some of our adversities with the citizenry of the U.S. and Canada, but most of the time we're fighting police departments, we're fighting, you know, federal agents, we're fighting the military. I mean, so I mean, whether it's the RCMP on the Canadian side or the FBI on the American side, this is what who we have fought. I mean, we fought agencies like the, you know, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. We, you know, we're not just I mean, we certainly aren't fighting, you know, mom and pop shops here. So when we've stood up. We've stood up to aggression, and sometimes that aggression has come. You know, when during that OCA crisis, look, we had a lot of people on that Canadian side who were burning effigies and stoning our cars and that kind of stuff. When we took back land in the Adirondacks, a community that we call Ganyonge, we had, you know, the average Joe going by shooting their hunting rifles into the camp that we had taken. And so, you know, we have had conflict with kind of rank and file Americans, I guess. But most of the time, it's been with governments and the agents of those governments. So this book explains a little bit of that. And frankly, the interviews go into some of that. So again, to have something in your possession. And look, there are movies that have been out on some of these issues. But to hear from the individuals who were involved in these incidents firsthand is a great opportunity. And I mention it because one of the things that happens, and I want to delve into a little bit of a different subject as I talk about this, is there's a tendency to view Native people through just one lens, and usually that lens is deeply in the past. You know, what we were 200 years ago or 300 years ago, and you know that's why I fight so hard on the mascot issue, and fight against this stereotypical representation that is always put forth about who we are. Because it casts us in the past. But we're fighting these battles today. And what happens is any incident that we've had, you know, even when they get more contemporary, they get put in what I call silos, right? What many people call silos, where you have no frame of reference to what else is happening in, you know, in the United States historically, or contemporarily, or anywhere else. And I liken, you know, part of what is a good demonstration of that is any of you who've been following the Cannes Film Festival or what's been making the news as far as upcoming films, there's a film coming out in October called Killers of the Flower Moon. It's based on the book by David Grann, who I had on this show. And in fact, maybe I should have Reggie help me find the archive of that show and post it so folks can listen to it. Because one of the interesting things that happened in my interview with David Grann, I asked him, I says, you know, you did a great job talking about these murders that took place in Osage territory. The book is called Killers of the Flower Moon, The Osage Murders and the Birth of the FBI, because the FBI was like brand new. You know, J. Edgar Hoover was a young man at the time, and these murders were happening. And so they send in this former Texas Ranger to go investigate these things. And so the story is twofold. One, about what's actually happening to the Osage people, and the fact that there is this twisted view that, based on white supremacy, that white people could just steal from these Osage and do it in a way that it was so premeditated. And of course, some of that theft came through murder. There were men that would actually seduce Native women, marry them, have children with them, and then kill them off so they could claim the oil head rights, because that's why the Osage were so wealthy at the time. This is 1920. This is why they were so wealthy. And so that's what the book is investigating. Or the book investigates, you know, the broad-based murders. But I don't know what the movie's going to look like until – because I haven't had a chance to screen it yet. I know there was a lot of discussion – this movie, Scorsese and DiCaprio and De Niro were really taking on this film, how to make it more than just a narrative about murders and an investigation. And Leonardo DiCaprio, who was going to play the federal agent originally, decided that the story was more interesting if he played essentially one of the murderers. And so my question is, as this book becomes a movie, are we going to sympathize with the characters, with the De Niro character who's a murderer, and with the DiCaprio character who's a murderer, and are we going to sympathize with the federal agent investigating, or are we really going to understand the reign of terror that the Osage were living under, even as they enjoyed a high level of affluence? That's my question. I don't know for sure, and we'll see. But one of the things that's happened in the conversation, and the reason I reference having David Grant on my show, I asked him on the program. I said, why is it there was no mention of the Tulsa massacres? Because it happened at the same time and literally 30, 40, 50 miles down the road from where the Osage were being murdered. Now, the Osage were murdered over a longer period of time. By some accounts, several decades, not just 2 decades, not just 10 years, not just 20 years, but several decades, these murders were taking place to take the oil revenue from the from the Osage people. But if you're going to frame this, you know, the story around white supremacy, how do you not mention the Tulsa massacre, you know, less than 50 miles down the road? And when I asked him that, he basically didn't have an answer. And it wasn't a gotcha question. I genuinely wondered if there was a strategy, and he said no, that it was more of an oversight. What I noticed, though, even in his interviews about the book and the movie, is that he mentions it now. So I'm sorry, I'm going to pat myself on the back a little bit and take a little bit of credit for insisting that we can't separate these acts of white supremacy, these acts of racism. And so I saw an interview, and I'm curious if the Tulsa massacres gets mentioned in the film. I hope it does, because we need to understand the broader context of what marginalized people experience. Because if we only look at racism through the lens of the black experience and reject the notion, and I've talked about this on the program many times, and you guys know it, if we reject the notion that the Native experience was one of white supremacy, confronting white supremacy and racism, and rather than accepting that, do that what most history books and what most Americans have grown to accept is that, yeah, what happened to the Native people was really unfortunate. It was terrible what happened. But it was, you know, just one of those natural things where there's a clash of culture. You have a dominant culture and an inferior culture. Keep in mind that we're already talking white supremacy, even as we subtly, you know, change that conversation. But that's – if we don't understand that this was based on overt racism, not just – this natural clash of cultures, because for one thing, there's nothing natural about wiping out a population. There's nothing natural about removing a population from their lands. I mean, it's ironic to listen to conversations about, you know, refugee status and immigration and all this other stuff when I think about what the Native experience was. And so when you saw a Native people with affluence and then how white people responded to it, And look, without giving the whole book or the movie away, basically white people set up camp and permanent residency among the Osage so they could take money from them. The Osage couldn't even control their own wealth. They had to have a guardian appointed to them, and that guardian was ripping them off. They overpaid for everything from a funeral to any medical attention. If they bought a car, they paid twice what anybody else did. Yes, Osage had cars in the 1920s. You know, but through it all, the Osage managed to do some phenomenal things. I mean, the first prima ballerina of the United States, and I hate to categorize her as that, was Maria Tallchief. She was Osage. Why? Because they had dance studios, and they had a theater, and they had, you know, look, it was, they really did have all the accoutrements that of a wealthy community. But all the while, they were having their money stolen from them on a daily basis. And to the point where there was the level of premeditation to the murders to get that money, where men would literally marry a woman, have children with that woman, so they could claim the head rights of that oil wealth. And, you know, and it doesn't just, it's not just a matter of stealing money. It's really about changing, and I don't want to make it a skin tone thing, but literally changing the complexion of a people, changing culturally people. So now, and I hate to use the word half-breeds, but you literally had a generation or two of kids that were born in these sadistic marriages, and those kids would be Osage, carrying the white man's name and all that other stuff, and raised essentially by a white father without a mother, and they would end up being, you know, a significant part of the Osage population. You know, I don't know the total numbers, and I don't know if the movie gets into that, but the book kind of delves into it a little bit. So I encourage you to read the book, Killers of the Flower Moon. It was a book that I offered as a premium back in the day. But what I'm offering as a premium today, again, and I have to mention this film coming out, because I hope that people do watch it, and I hope we watch it critically. I hope it's good. I really do. And I hope it's not just entertaining. I hope it's I know that there were Osage involved in the you know, as consultants, and some of the families, survivors of the of these Osage murders, perhaps even some of the kids that were involved in, you know, in their family being disruptive in this way, were involved. So in the production of the movie as consultants and advisors. So I'm hoping it really is a good film. I suspect it will be. I am optimistic that it will be. But what I'm offering here is not Killers of the Flower Moon. It is the Mohawk Warrior Society, a handbook on sovereignty and survival. It is a book that I've contributed to, as I mentioned earlier. It's one that I'm hoping that folks will donate to this station in the name of the show while I'm on the air or anytime after to receive this book. And for a donation of $75 or more, don't be shy. If you can do $100, do $100. I'd be happy to send a copy. I'll even throw my John Cain on there, not John Hancock. I'll throw my John Cain on there. But I'd love to see more people get copies of the book. I was grateful when we did the book launch in Manhattan that so many WBAI listeners came out to the book launch. I don't know if we'll do another one, but I do plan to do some events, and maybe I'll even get, you know, some of the same panelists that came into that book launch to do an event, you know, back in New York, and we can kind of mix it up again. So again, the book is The Mohawk Warrior Society, A Handbook on Sovereignty and Survival. And it's basically a book by Louis Hall. But it was, you know, it was some of my friends from New York that helped this book happen. Matt Peterson, Malik Ramsey, Philippe Bouton, from the Canadian side, Philippe. So these guys helped gather the information, do some of the interviews, edit the book. And it is a... They did a great job, and frankly, they didn't do it. I mean, it's not like we paid them to do that. They donated time, and basically the proceeds from this book will help us further develop the Louis Hall Foundation, which we hope to be more involved in education and art. You know, I'd actually love to do a gallery presentation, an exhibition of Louis Hall's artwork, and that's something we could look into in the future. But this is the offering for $75 or more. I ask that you go to the pledge line. The pledge line is 212-209-2950. I'll give the number again, 212-209-2950, or go online to give2wbai.org. Look, if you make a contribution in the name of the show, I would greatly appreciate it. It is WBAI, and I'm grateful that has turned into being carried by WPFW in Washington, D.C. So I have the opportunity pretty much every week to address two of the more significant media markets on the East Coast. I mean, like I said, Washington is where those people go to assert their power and their influence. But... You know, New York has a tremendous amount of influence, not only on state politics. New York City has a tremendous amount of influence not only on state politics, but nationally as well. So the opportunity that I have on these radio stations to talk about Native issues and to try to break down some of that siloing. Look, I've had the opportunity to voice some things on this program that landed where they needed to. you know, in the governor's ear, whether it was, you know, Governor Cuomo or not Governor Hochul. I did a show where I talked about how much the state assembly leader was carrying water for the, you know, for Kathy Hochul. And she heard, she not only heard the show, she actually tried to get a hold of Seneca Nation and demand an apology for something that I said. I'm not even Seneca. But because the politics in the United States has really degraded to a level that I certainly never seen in my lifetime. And it seems like it's only getting worse. I mean, when I look at what the Democrats produce in terms of their signature politicians, Joe Biden, Kathy Hochul, Eric Adams, really? That was the best you could do? I mean, and the only thing that makes those people even, I don't know, I hate to even say they're acceptable, but is, you know, when you look at the other side and you've got guys like Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump trying to lead the Republican Party. So I see the politics in the United States as something that is degraded so badly on both sides of the, you know, the aisle, so to speak. And as a Native person, I can be as openly critical to Democrats as I can to Republicans. And I do so making it clear that I'm not going to participate in those elections. It's not my system, but I'm impacted by it, and I'm impacted by racism, and I'm impacted by the level of white supremacy that still drives American politics and state politics. And even when people of color manage to get into those positions of power or authority, whatever, it seems like it just goes terribly. So that's the opportunity I get to have here. And look, and I know I'm not the only person on WBAI that criticizes both the left and the right. And we all have probably different reasons for criticizing both. And, you know, some, you know, tie it to COVID, some tie it to, you know, health care, some tie it to, you know, the debt limit, some tie it to all kinds of other things. And from a Native standpoint, we're impacted by all of that. I mean, we're impacted by it. So I will speak out, but I'm not going to prop up one side over the other, because I see the best chance we have of affecting change, and I've talked about this before, is not doing it at the voting booth. And I'm not saying don't vote. You know, I'm not going to, but I'm not telling you not to. I'm saying that's not enough. We've got to pound on these politicians, whether you voted for them or not. You know, look, I saw all these people who say Donald Trump, not my president. Well, it's fine to say that, but if you're an American, he was your president. You know, if you're a New Yorker, Kathy Hochul's your governor. I don't care which side of the aisle you sit on. And just bitching about them on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or anyplace else isn't going to get it done. Sometimes we've got to take the steps. I'm not saying we got to do, you know, a January 6th thing. I'm not suggesting that. But maybe we do need to reach out more directly to some of these people. And not because you love them. Actually, those kinds of echo chambers are part of the problem. That's not what this show is. You know, and I know that's not what a lot of the shows on WBAR are. I mean, these are shows that are going to be critical. And it's not enough to just be critical. Sometimes we have to act out. We have to not only think critically, but we have to act out critically. So, look, whether we're talking about this station, whether we're talking about the city, or whether we're talking about the state or the country, there are things that we do. And, you know, and look, I know I can, you know, blow my own horn over the mascot issue, but keep in mind, I pushed for a statewide ban against high schools using Native mascots, and I didn't do it through the governor, and I sure as hell didn't do it through the state legislature, didn't get any help from the federal level. I just went to where the people who are involved in education are. I went to the New York State Department of Education, and that's where I pressed the issue. Now, hey, it didn't turn out perfect. You know, the Seneca Nation approved one school allowing them to keep their Warriors name. Another school allowed a school to keep the name Raiders if they changed the logo or something like that. But really, we essentially wiped out, and I say we because although I will take some of the blame or credit for this, I couldn't have done it without the five families from Cambridge, New York, who stepped up with me, and a really cooperative president of the Board of Education there, who frankly got removed, and a cooperative commissioner of education, Dr. Betty Rosa. Without those people being willing to actually hear and respond in ways that previous administrations, I mean, look, 21 years ago, Commissioner Mills told schools to get rid of these things, and they didn't. I built upon that by taking on my old high school in Cambridge, New York. And look, Dr. Rosa allowed me to sit on the Indigenous Mascot Advisory Council because she knew my voice was strong on this issue. I sent videos, I did letters to the editor, I did all of this stuff. And my point here is that I didn't do it with a PAC fund. I didn't do it with a lobbying effort. I mean, I went at it directly. I insist that individuals can affect change. And the more of us that rally together, look, the more allies or accomplices that we have as we're fighting for something, whether it's the LGBT issues that, that dominate much of the news right now, or whether it's, voter suppression. I mean, whatever your cause is, the more people who stand together and literally stand, march, walk, I mean, go to where you're going to, not only make news, but you're going to make impact. And whether you voted for somebody or not, you demand the right to hold them accountable. So that's what we talk about here on the show. And look, we've seen 10,000 people converge on Standing Rock to try to stop a pipeline. That's an amazing thing to see happen. I mean, I've done events talking about the OCA crisis and the effort by the Canadian government had in trying to expand a golf course on the native lands, and how much we stood up against that. You can resist, and sometimes that resistance is more dramatic than others. And look, I'm not. The OCA crisis resulted in one police officer being killed, and that's a tragedy. We've seen, other places where people have, either marched or protested, and somebody plows into them with a vehicle, or we see these mass shootings happening all over the, all over the United States, and almost uniquely in the United States, exclusively in the United States. So we know there is the potential for retribution when you're standing for something. And we see a governor of the state of Florida, demanding, that he's going to fight to be the anti-woke candidate. I mean, think about what that means, the anti-woke candidate. I mean, so he chooses to be asleep. I mean, that's the opposite of being woke is being asleep. And this is what a lot of the conservatives, and frankly, some of the so-called liberals too, they can put their head in the sand just like the folks on the right can. I mean, am I right, Reggie? Am I right?
Hey, look, I would have said something if you said something wrong. it is ridiculous to think that there is a anti-woke. I don't get that, man. I mean, it's like if you're going to be so, and there are people that would consider someone being fundamentally asleep rather than be active for change. And, whether that change, that could be up for debate, but to be asleep as a campaign strategy.
And the two guys are going to compete for that title.
I mean, Lord.
That's the other thing, it's an insane, but that's where, look, folks, that's why WBAI is important. Because we're having these conversations, and we're not just going to, play Fox News versus CNN or MSNBC.
No,
we're going to say, and it's not that we're taking the middle. We're just being equally critical. That's not being in the middle. I don't consider myself in that spectrum, but I can consider myself somebody who can criticize. Look, I'll even criticize. Sometimes I'll criticize the people in the middle even more because, frankly, I don't. Where do you put somebody like Hochul or Adams or or Biden. They sure as are, they sure hell, as hell aren't on the extreme left.
Oh, no. No. So, no. And shame on anyone to think otherwise.
You know, and the sad part is you're still going to have Bernie and AOC and Gavin Newsom, all these guys trying to fundraise for Joe Biden. What's to say about them? I mean,
really, because these were the people that were supposed to be about change. These were the people that were supposed to be about. Look, we understand that the status quo, the run of the mill shenanigans that goes day to day.
I love that that slip. You said status quo.
Yeah,
it's like a combination of Jim Crow and status quo. That's
Slip. I didn't realize I said that, but hey, I'll take credit for that.
I'm gonna use that one. Status quo. I love that one.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that when you're telling us that this is your best choice, where fundamentally you have done nothing. Nothing has changed.
Well, Joe Biden did apologize for the Anita Hill stuff.
Did he apologize?
Yeah, like 40 or 50 years later, or how many years it was. I don't know. That's the crazy part of this.
It's
whole
the crazy
thing, right?
part. And again, there are some people here in this radio station that will curry favor and will try to defend it. Not everyone, of course, but they will say that, this side is worse than that side. Look, and just as you say, I'm just looking at it over there, and I'm saying, y'all both trash.
I might be the only person on WBA who was openly critical of Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
But
I had reasons to be. Legitimate.
I mean, it was so funny because I know I had discussions about that, and from the stuff that you was talking about on air, I was using that as a form of, your heroine wasn't all what she cracked up a being. Man, I had to get out there. I almost had to fight my way out of there.
Well, she also allowed the court to get so conservative by hanging on to the bitter end instead of retiring during the. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's got Dianne Feinstein. I mean, at some point, don't you think you've been at this long enough? I mean, look, I understand. It is really tough, for white women, to achieve certain statuses. But you know what? At some point, I don't care if you're a woman. I don't care if you're black. I don't care if you're white. I don't care what you are. You gotta hand the baton off at some point.
It's just abuse at that point.
I think so. And it's ego, and it is abuse because that quest or that. That desire to cling to power becomes abusive. I mean, and that's, that's what we see. And again, that's why what we do here, I can speak for what I talk about here, but I know there's other programs that address some of these issues. So that's why WBI is important. That's why we need you to support the radio station. We need you to go to the pledge line. Look, we're doing this 2-week fund drive. We've been trying to stretch out fundraising throughout the year, but we decided it's time to just go all in with a pledge drive. And that's what we're doing here. So I'm asking you to go to the pledge line, call up 212-209-2950, go online to give to WBAI. Look, if you, I would love to send you a copy of the Mohawk Warrior Society book, but predominantly by Louis Hall, Gordon Jack Dudjay. I'd love to send you a copy of the book for a donation of $75 or more. And look, and if you could do more, do more. If you can do, become a BAI buddy. I mean, there was a period of time that I, for a 1-hour weekly show, I was, producing more buddies than anybody. Something happened there. I somehow I lost them. I don't know if all my buddies left me. I don't know, but I need you back. I need you to do the $5 a month or $10 a month or $15 a month or whatever you – look, if you're already a buddy, maybe you up it another $5 and do it in the name of this show. Because, look, you can't – there's two things you can't take for granted. One, that this show will always be on WBAI, and two, that WBAI will always be on the air. Because without you supporting this station, you're not going to have a WBAI. I mean, we have been, under the gun – for years, since Superstorm Sandy before that. Look, we've been struggling to keep our heads above water. And it's amazing to me that we could be a radio station in one of the largest media markets in the world, New York City, and struggle so much. I realize there's a lot of other radio stations out there, and it's not just radio stations. It's blogs, it's podcasts, it's you know, it's cable, it's you know, it's satellite radio, terrestrial radio, all that stuff. So I get that, but we're still in New York City, folks, and you know, I just got to ask you. I got to ask you to step up and support this radio station. Support the radio station that has had such a commitment to diverse voices that they've had essentially a native show of one form or another for most of the 60 years that's been on the air. So, and I'm proud to be this current iteration of that. But I've been doing this for, you know, for over 10 years with WBAI. So, you know, I don't know what my following is on the radio station. Obviously, I stream the show on Facebook live stream. I put it up as a podcast. So however you're listening to the show, whether you're, you know, listening it to it live on the air, live on Facebook, whether you're catching it as a podcast or an archive show, whatever the case may be, I need you to support the radio station. And if you do it in the name of this program, then you secure my spot here. And look, we know, we've seen shows come and go over the years, so there's no guarantee that I'm a show that will always be here. You can help guarantee that. You can secure my spot on the WBAI channel by making a contribution now. You know, by $75 or more, I'd be happy to send you a copy of the Mohawk Warrior Society book, something that I contributed in to, something that I firmly believe in. And it, something that'll give you insight. This isn't somebody else telling our story. This is our story, written by us. I mean, you know, I've yet to produce, you know, my first book, but this is the first book that I've been published in. So I ask that you make a contribution, $75 or more. Do what you can. If it can be more than $75, then please do. And do it in the name of this program. Do it for the book. And I'd be happy to send you a copy of it. And, you know, look, we do this and you secure the programs that you like. You secure the station that you listen to. And look, I realize that the media market has changed. And that's part of one of the challenges that the WBA has had. How do you deal with competing against somebody who can just listen to whatever they want on their phone? Well, you can listen to this on your phone too. You can, you know, ask Alexa to play WBAI. You can, you know, or Siri or anybody else. You can do all of that. So we're here, but we're only here basically at your pleasure. So if you contribute to the station, you secure the station. If you contribute to the station in the name of the show, you secure this program. So again, the number is 212-209-2950, or you can go online to give to, that's give the number to, WBAI.org, and you know, follow the prompts. You know, Reggie, are there other, I mean, I think you can do PayPal. Are there a couple of other ways you can contribute to the station at this point? Uh-oh. Reggie must have been doing something.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, sorry.
I expect Reggie to always be there to yeah, drop a hat every time I turn to him.
Yeah, I'm sorry, John. I didn't, because I was dealing with other things at this point. What was the thing you was asking me before? See, this is live radio, folks, for those people who don't realize that.
And you're acting like you have a job there or something.
I mean, you know, I rumor has it that I am an employed individual here that actually keep things functioning here at this radio station at times. So
yeah, it's a solid rumor. So my question was, are there other ways to contribute? I mean, I know that people are using different types of payment systems, you know, PayPal.
Oh, yeah. So really, pretty much the primary ways of donating to this radio station and donating to your program, John, is calling the number 212-209-2950. Or if you're using the latest technology via smartphone, laptop, or a tablet, or even a desktop computer, you can go to givetowbai.org, and that is another way of showing your support to this radio station. Give to the number 2WBAI.org online. We had other ways of doing it, but they have been on pause for some time. Okay. And so primarily the two ways of donating to this radio station is calling the pledge line, 212-209-2950, or go online to give2wbai.org.
And of course, when you make these contributions, you can do it via snail mail. You can put a check in the mail.
Oh, yeah.
You need to, and you'll find out. But you can also use your credit card or your checking account information.
You know what?
All that stuff is still available.
Oh, yes. And you know, and thank you for reminding me about that, John. Yes. For those people who want to send a check to the radio station to show support, you could do so by going to WBAI Radio. 388 Atlantic Avenue, 3rd floor, Brooklyn, New York, 11217.
Do not leave bags of money out in front of the doorstep.
No, do not leave bags of money. No, do not do that.
We'll work some other way out other than that.
But by all means. You know, God bless you for your efforts, but no, do not leave the bag of money. Do not.
No, look, you know, of course, and I always have to mention this. Look, we want your support for the station, but one of the ways that you support the station is also to talk about us. I mean, please spread the word. I mean, if you hear something on this program or any other program, frankly, whether you like it or you don't like it, I mean, sometimes you hear something, I can't believe what that goddamn John Cain just said.
Yeah.
Well, tell somebody so that somebody's going to say, well, let me hear what that goddamn John Cain just said.
Hey.
Because I have actually... You know, I'm not in the conversion business, okay? But I had a good friend of mine who was directed to listen to my show years ago, and she was pissed. She couldn't hear what she was hearing. If she can believe what she was hearing, I mean. So finally, you know, as I'm saying some of this stuff, you know, and I'm telling some of the history that, frankly, people have never heard before, I say, you know, by all means, don't take my word for it. Check it out. So she starts doing research, and she starts finding out what Thomas Jefferson was really about, or what George Washington was really about, or Abraham Lincoln and the Dakota 38, and you know, residentials, all of that stuff. And so little by little, she says, "Damn it, he's right. He's not lying." And we've become very close friends. I'm not saying I'm going to convert the biggest haters out there. And
right.
I know, look, if you have been so indoctrinated into whether it's your religious beliefs or whether your political stripes or whatever else, you're a tough one. And frankly, I don't mind engaging people like that, because sometimes that conversation is worth witnessing, because, you know, sometimes it can degrade pretty badly, which is a teachable moment, or we can get to a place where, you know, we can have that agree to disagree kind of thing, but at least get some information out there. So that's kind of what we try to do. You know, Reggie, I know a couple of weeks ago we started taking some calls again.
Right.
And we're going to try to do, once we get through this fund drive, we're going to do more of that. And look, and I'm hoping that people will engage. And I know, look, sometimes I get the same callers I was getting back before COVID when we were doing, but I don't mind that. But also getting some, I'd love to get more young people, and I don't know if this is the best time slot for a young person to, you know, to engage. But this is what we need to do with WBAI. We need to get young people involved, and frankly, I'd love to get more involved in not only listening, but actually, you know, on this side of the microphone as well. So that's something that we need to work on.
Well, WBAI always had a longstanding tradition of engagement, and engagement happens to be what you're doing right now, John, or in person. And I think that as long and as soon as we start really getting that eye-to-eye contact and seeing people out there, and it's a slow process. It's no doubt it's a slow process, but I always feel that it is the most effective process out there, because there are people that are thinking the way you are thinking, John, and they have a perspective similar to yours, or, you know, or not, but be it, having that eye-to-eye contact, I think, is the most effective way of getting your point across, not just about what your show entails, but what WBAI represents and have been representing for so long. So, yeah.
And, you know, and look, and if you don't think the voices matter, I don't know if you're aware of this, but Link Ray.
Yes.
For those of you who came out and saw, you know, Rumble when I screened it in New York, and I did that film at least three times, I'm sure. Link Ray got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame finally.
Overdue.
This year.
Overdue. Overdue.
But, you know, that wouldn't have happened without the film, without the screenings, without the conversations. You know who else got inducted this year? DJ Cool Herc.
Yeah.
I mean, and look, that's another personality that you may have only heard on a station like this, other than than listening to those very specific radio stations that carry hip hop and that genre of music. But look, we can go back a few years when hip hop was had its place on the station.
Right.
But certainly Clive Campbell, DJ Cool Herc. I've done screenings with his sister Cindy, and
yes.
And I've got a chance to meet Herc, and so the fact is that our voices do matter, and they do carry enough influence to make things happen. And while I think both Cool Herc and Link Ray were long overdue, the fact is, and look, I couldn't be more thrilled to see DJ Cool Herc inducted now instead of after his passing.
Yeah, that's true. And I have to say, just an addendum to what you were just saying, I remember the show that I did on Link Ray, and that was some time ago, and it might have been around the same time you was having screenings.
Screenings.
And flat out, the show that I was doing at the time was on Wednesdays at 3 a.m. in the morning. It was still flat out the most popular show that I did, and which still blows my mind to this very day. The word got out so fast about someone was doing a program, an entire program on Link Ray, and just representing the genius that he had. I mean, when I found out that Link Ray was primarily the person that was responsible for the power chord, which is the primary thing for heavy metal music or hard rock music.
And punk. I mean,
and
all of
punk
it, yeah.
as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. How is this dude wasn't inducted into Rock and Roll Hall of Fame earlier?
Yeah, here's
but
a guy
my
who would jam a screwdriver through his speakers just to make it distort a little.
Yeah, yeah. I was just like, man.
I got to get you to send me the archive of that show if you got the, if on the.
Oh yeah, yeah, I have
and
it.
I'll repost.
Of course, I have it.
Plus, let's if you could help me, I have trouble, and maybe that's we could do a whole show on this. I wanted to find the archive of when I had David Grann from Killers of the Flower Moon on my show. If you can help me find those, I'd like to post those back up so people can hear those interviews.
How long ago was that?
Oh man, it was a few years ago. It was while we were there.
Okay.
In Brooklyn, though, it wasn't.
Okay.
It wasn't up in City College or anything.
Okay, so it was okay.
Yeah.
So I'll ask you. You got to give me a date, and I can find out about that.
Yeah, we'll dig it up and we'll play that too.
Now we're having a personal conversation on air. Now,
yes, we are on air. It's okay, right? Okay. How's the family? Look, folks. I can't ask you enough, and I will, I do it even when we're not in a fun drive, but now we are in a fun drive. So now the pressure's on for each one of our programs who are being aired during this fun drive to produce. So I'm asking you to go to the pledge line. That's 212-209-2950, or go online to give2wbai.org and follow the prompts, follow the operator's lead here. If you're interested in the Mohawk Word Society book, offer a contribution of $75 or more. I'd be happy to sign a copy and send it, get it sent out to you. So, but in general, I'd love to start that race for the WBAI Buddies program again. Whatever you can do, whether it's something you could do monthly, whether it's something you do because you hear a premium that's offered, and I don't do a lot of them. But, I guess I could do that again if we start going back into doing regular fund drives, looking for something that I can offer up. Whatever it is, whether you would like to receive a gift in response to your donation, and look, there's tote bags and other stuff, right, Reg? I mean,
Bags, membership cards that will entitle you to
discounts, right?
Discounts to participating entities, restaurants, art galleries, movie theaters.
And you become a member of the station.
Yes.
And a voting member. I mean, so you can actually help shape the program. You can actually help shape, you know, what WBAI becomes in the future. So, look, I can't emphasize it enough. We are in a fund drive. We're essentially in a perpetual fund drive, it seems, because this is, look, producing radio in New York City is not a cheap endeavor, and it's not for the faint at heart. So we need your support for the station. I don't receive any of the money donated in the name of my show. It is really a marker for the station to say, yeah, we appreciate what John Cain does. We appreciate the fact that WBAI has maintained a native voice on the air all these years. And so, again, the pledge line is 212-209-2950. The website is give2wbai.org. You know, make a contribution, support the station, support the program. And, you know, we'll keep doing this. We'll keep doing this. So, look, I want to thank you for listening. Check out Killers of the Flower Moon. I'm not offering that book. Check out the Mohawk Warrior Society. I'd love to have, when we start going back to the phone lines, that film doesn't open until October. So we've got time to digest some of the information in the book. And maybe I'll even get David Grand back on the line.
I'd love
to, like to, you know, try to reconnect with him. So that about wraps it up for me here today. So thanks for listening. Thanks for contributing, for those of you who did. And for those of you who are considering it, consider a little bit more and make a contribution to WBAI for Resistance Radio. I'm John Cain. Yahweh.
Nurse, family therapist Richardina Theodore, we delve into the explosive issues in mental health. Our mission is to help you know yourself, release your anxieties and your depression, and free your mind. Only on WBAI, the voice of the voiceless, can we voiceless ones be heard. Support the show and WBAI by donating at give2wbai.org. That's the word give, the number 2, at wbai.org. Or by calling 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. You can support the show and the station even more by going to give2wbai.org and giving a monthly donation of as little as $10 per month as a WBAI buddy to your favorite show on WBAI 99.5 FM.
We're raising money today for the Tower Fund here at WBAI.
And without that tower, we can't stay on the air.
Please, just give what you can.
And those contributions can be small or they can be large, but those are the contributions that we need to make in order to beat back the other side. No one is going to do it for us.
Even a few dollars a month helps to keep us on the air.
Let's face it, without Pacifica, what do you have? NPR is too milquetoast. PBS, too milquetoast. Without Pacifica, we're dead in the water.
And that pledge line is 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950.
And we're only asking those who can give it, those who can afford it. We know that there's some people out there who cannot afford it, and that's one of the problems. Those of us who relatively have must stand up for those who have not.
I'm sick and tired hearing people complain about, well, you know, the right wing has Fox News and they have this and they have that. The oppressor always has more money than the oppressed. We have to make use of the resources that we have We have people, and we have people that can make contributions.
Here on WBAI 99.5 FM, we want to have the Tower Fund strong and healthy, so we're not worried about it.
212-209-2950.
Or you can go online at WBAI.org and donate to the Tower Fund.
David Amram, you're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 on your FM dial, and keep on listening.
Welcome to Sojourner Truth. Thank you for staying with us. This is your host, Margaret Prescott. Today, we focus on the interrelationship between art and politics in our tribute to Paul Robeson. He was the son of a former slave, an actor, singer, and all-American champion football player, an anti-racist and human rights activist. He was an internationalist, blacklisted for speaking out about the discrimination and violence against black people in the United States, and after racists started a riot outside his performance in Peekskill, New York. But he remained popular in Europe, so the U.S. State Department revoked his passport, basically derailing his promising career. Today, he is recognized as one of the world's greatest singers, as well as the greatest Shakespearean actor. We remember Paul Robeson. Here is Paul Robeson reciting from Othello.
Othello came from a culture as great as that of ancient Venice. He came from an Africa of equal stature, and he felt he was betrayed, his honor was betrayed, and his human dignity was betrayed. And so when they come for him from Venice, he speaks and says, "Soft, you! A word or two before you go. I have done the state some service, and they know it. No more of that. I pray you in your letters, when you shall these unlucky deeds relate, speak of me as I am. Nothing extenuate, nor set down aught in malice. Then must you speak of one that loved full wisely, but too well. Of one not easily jealous, but being wrought, perplexed in the extreme. Of one whose subdued eyes, albeit unused to the melting mood, drop tears as fast as the Arabian trees, their medicinable cup. Set you down this, and say besides, that in Aleppo once, where a malignant and a turban Turk beat a Venetian and seduced the state, I took by the throat the damned heathen dog, and smote him death. I kissed thee ere I killed thee. No way but this, killing myself to die upon a kiss.
Thank you.
A riveting performance by Paul Robeson in Othello. We live in a global world. We're all interrelated. So on Sojourner Truth, we work to bring directly to you news and views on local, national, and international policies and stories that affect us all. And we draw out how those of us most impacted, women, communities of color, and other communities are responding. We also discuss the interrelationship between art and politics. Today, we pay a tribute to Paul Robeson. Paul Robeson was the son of a former slave. His father was a runaway slave who went on to graduate from Lincoln University, and his mother came from an abolitionist Quaker family. He was born and raised during a period of segregation, lynching, and open racism. He was one of the top performers of his time, earning more money than many white entertainers. His concert career spanned the globe, including Vienna, Berlin, Paris, London, Moscow, New York, and Nairobi. He petitioned the President of the United States, President Truman, for an anti-lynching law. And he also promoted African self-rule. He helped victims of the Spanish Civil War, and he stood with Welsh miners. He raised money for Jewish refugees fleeing Germany, and he fought for India's independence. He championed equality for all human beings, while all the while enduring terrorism, banned performances, racism, and discrimination throughout his career. We are delighted to be able to bring to you today, as a thank you gift, Paul Robeson, Portraits of the Artist, a 4-DVD boxed set. We're going to offer all that we have during this hour for those of you who pledge at the 250 level. But if you want to get this thank you gift, you want to be sure that you get it, please call us early at 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. We'll need at least 12 of you calling us to meet our goal for this hour of $3,000. We are also offering up a dollar a day pack, which is the Paul Robeson Portraits of the Artist, a 4-DVD box set. That box set also comes with a book, by the way, and also the Pacifica Radio Archives 30-hour jump drive that also includes Paul Robeson. That's a $200 pledge level on its own. The box set is $250, so for us to be offering it to you for a dollar a day is pledge level is actually quite a deal. You will have to call us at 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. Throughout the hour, to get this material, the box set, 4 discs, just amazing material. I would like to go now to a clip, from the Paul Robeson, and he has quite a story here. You'll hear the evolution of the song that he's so well known with, Old Man River, how that the wording of that evolved following his own political evolution, and also about his career as he sang all over the world. Let's go to that clip right now.
There are moments in a great artist's life which should be remembered forever. Yet, for Paul Robeson, those moments were nearly obliterated, blotted out, by the fears and political anxieties which gripped America in the early 1950s. One such moment occurred over half a century ago. Oscar Hammerstein and Jerome Kern wrote a song expressly for and dedicated to a young singer. No one who has ever heard Paul Robeson sing Old Man River will ever forget it.
Old Man River, that old man river, he must know something, but don't say nothing. He just keeps rolling, he keeps on rolling along. He don't plant potatoes, he don't plant cotton. Them that plant them, he soon grows.
think of crying.
Old Man River was to be associated with Robeson for the rest of his life. The words he sang were to change gradually as Paul Robeson and the world around him changed. But even if Old Man River had never been written, there was another moment. It was a performance on stage that still stands in the record books, the longest running Shakespearean play in the history of the Broadway theater. It was a part many actors have played. Emil Jannings, Walter Hampden, Walter Houston, Orson Welles, Laurence Olivier, but none equaled Robeson as Othello the Moor. A performance that was the culmination of 20 years of work and understanding. Robeson recollects.
I just came over from America and would like to say pass and chance and do for the morning dew. And I happened to think of an old script of Shakespeare, and the dew was very clear. It was D-I-E-W, and it was not chance, C-H-A-U-N-C-E, so it was dew, like in lieu of, and chance and dance. It's very, very Shakespearean. And one terrible, difficult sound was my, almost at the beginning of the play, my services, which I have done the scenery, my services, services. I would say my service. I had to work on that very. But later I took some special work at the University of London, and also in my university days I majored in English, and I have records from the earliest time of Anglo-Saxons, matter of fact, through Chaucer. And of course, since I worked on my songs with Roger Quilter, and I would have to use draw. I couldn't walk out here and say, drink to me only with thine eyes, and I will pledge with mine. It's got to be very, drink to me only with thine eyes, and I will pledge with mine.
Yet Robeson's Othello was more important for another reason. Simple human dignity. White men wearing black makeup had been kissing Desdemona for years on the American stage, but this was the first time a black man would play Othello with a white supporting cast. Actually, in 1826, one other black American, Ira Aldridge, had played Othello throughout Europe with an all-black cast. Magnificent actor that he was, Ira Aldridge was not allowed to play Othello in his native land, America. But in 1943, America had changed. Margaret Webster directed Robeson in Othello.
The moment he stepped onto that stage, he was not only a black man, but he was a great black man, a man of stature. Somehow or other, he put the play in focus.
Shakespeare, the genius that he was, seemed to foreshadow and understand many of the problems that have since arisen in our world, perhaps were present then. First, I would say that here is a part which has dignity for the Negro actor. Often we don't get those opportunities. And I would say that my people will be very proud of my or any other Negro actor appearing in such a part. I think also that to me, Othello is one of a different culture. Shakespeare insists that he's African. Some argument whether the word black and the fact that he's from Africa is very clear to me. And that Shakespeare posed this problem of a, say, black man in a white society.
Robeson's career started in the early 1920s. It was a time of the Negro Renaissance, and the early works of black musicians, poets, writers, and painters were coming to the attention of the American public. Robeson was supporting himself through law school by acting when he was seen by Eugene O'Neill. It was his performance as the Emperor Jones in a revival of the O'Neill play that first brought Robeson to the consciousness of the theatrical world.
Enough noise. Smithers, cigarette.
There is no visual record of Robeson's performance in 1924. This is a scene from the film which was made 9 years later.
Smithers? You have just had an audience with the Emperor Jones.
In the next 4 years, the sound of Robeson's voice was heard around the world.
He must know something.
In 1928, Robeson opened in the London production of Showboat. And it's interesting that when he recorded Old Man River for the first time a year earlier, he sang the original Hammerstein lyrics using the word niggers.
Niggers all work on the Mississippi. Niggers all work while the white folks play. Pulling them both from the dawn.
By 1928, Robeson had persuaded Hammerstein to change the word to darkies, which may seem less than any change at all in terms of today's thinking, but the lyrics of Old Man River were eventually to change mightily in the years to come. It was 1930. Success piled on success. Impresario Max Reinhardt decided to produce one American play in Berlin, Der Kaiser Jones, or as one German newspaper headlined, Der Schwarze Kaiser. Robeson set another landmark. Paul Robeson had still another career on the concert stage. It happened almost by accident. Back in 1924, he was rehearsing the last act of The Emperor Jones, and the script called for Jones to exit, hands in his pocket, whistling a tune. Robeson said he couldn't whistle. The director said, well, hum. Or sing, if you want to.
Lord God of Abraham, Isaac and Israel, this day let it be known
that
God and that I am thy servant. Lord God of Abraham, hear, oh hear me, Lord, and answer me.
You?
Yeah. Was it all right?
Robeson sang all over the world. He sang for the people and he sang for the royal families of England, Romania, Greece, Yugoslavia. As Robeson's view of the world expanded, so did his music. He became competent in many languages. He began to sing folk songs in the languages they were written in.
So the idea of my concert is one suggestion that all men are brothers because of their music. And in my first group, I do an old English song. I do an old song from about the 11th or 12th century from Czechoslovakia. The Moravian chorales of about the 11th and 12th centuries preceded the chorales upon which Johann Sebastian Bach based his music. So I take this, and then I do a Bach chorale, and then I create a slight confusion by doing a Negro spiritual right in the middle, because it belongs there.
Two Robeson concerts stand out. One on a day a war stood still. It was January 27, 1938, at Teruel, Spain. Robeson had come to the front to sing to the Republican soldiers. Somehow the shooting quieted down. Loudspeakers were put up, and for a day a war stopped while two opposing armies listened to a man sing.
He must know something, but don't say nothing. He just keeps rolling. He keeps
in Spain, another change in the words of Old Man River. I'm tired of living and scared of dying became, we must keep fighting until we're dying.
I keep laughing instead of crying. We must keep fighting until we're dying.
Old Man River was was beginning to turn from a song of lament to a song of political protest. The other unforgettable concert was in St. Paul's Cathedral in London. Robeson chose the hymn Jacob's Ladder, and he sang for 4,000 people in the cathedral and 5,000 more who stood outside and listened.
We are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. Soldiers of the
Call 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. This Robeson collection box set, I'll offer them until they run out. The pledge level is $250. And this is the portrait of one of the greatest artists that lived in any country. And the box set includes films of Robeson. It has The Emperor Jones. It has Paul Robeson, Tribute to an Artist. By the way, that voice that you hear narrating, that is the voice of the great Sidney Poitier. Also, Body and Soul by the great Oscar Michaud back in 1925. Borderline from 1930. Sanders of the River from 1935. Jericho from 1937. The Proud Valley from 1940. And Native Land from 1942. And there's also a book that comes along with it. You will not want to miss this. Likely this will be the last time ever that I will be able to offer this material. Call 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. I will need 12 of you calling and pledging at the 250 level to get this Robeson material. This is going to appreciate in value. You know, I can tell you by within a few months, people are going to be offering this, you know, on eBay or whatever for God knows what the price is, because it just won't be available any longer. So please take advantage of it. Call 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950.
I am sure going to pledge for this today and make sure that my daughter and her family, that they have this. This is a piece of history we won't want to miss. The front of the book says, called by some the greatest forerunner and others the tallest tree in our forest, Paul Robeson is without peer in the annals of modern American civilization. His was a life rich with intellectual and emotional complexity, unfolding during the United States' most eventful times, a long and troubled era to which he contributed his talent and his willingness to challenge the prevailing conventions of racism, imperialism, and social justice. And he paid the price for it. Paul Robeson was blacklisted, his career basically destroyed. What a great talent, the best Shakespearean actor ever, one of the best singers ever.
Call 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950.
We do have a dollar a day pack, and in that dollar a day pack, you will get the Paul Robeson Portraits of the Artist, the 4-DVD box set that comes with a book. You will also get the 30-hour jump drive. On that jump drive, it's an extensive collection. It's 5 hours of Martin Luther King alone, exclusive Martin Luther King, the Black Panther Party, Angela Davis, Cornel West, you know, Malcolm X, and so much more. That is a $200 pledge level on its own. It's part of the dollar a day pack, and I just need 8 of you calling to get the dollar a day pack. So this is it, people. Your last chance to get this Paul Robeson material. I do want to quickly move along now because I want you to hear really all of the clips that I have available, because they are just amazing. And this clip, and by the way, these clips are from the box set, and it's about 1939. line when Robeson sang the ballads for Americans over CBS radio, and also how Robeson sang when Roosevelt died. Let's go to that clip right now. Our phone lines are open, and let me tell you, if you don't call us, you're going to be terribly sorry, because this is it. You will no longer have this history to share with your children or your grandchildren. Let's go now to hear more about Paul Robeson.
Then in 1939, there was another moment. Robeson first sang Ballad for Americans over CBS radio.
In 76, the sky was red, thunder rumbling overhead, that King George couldn't sleep in his bed, and on that stormy morn, old Uncle Sam was born.
The ballad, like Robeson himself, was later nearly wiped from our memories. In 1940, with America uniting for World War II, Ballad for Americans had extraordinary appeal for every man. President Roosevelt died in 1945, it was Paul Robeson who was chosen by his fellow actors to read their tribute to the president. It was written by Carl Sandburg. However, with Roosevelt's death and the end of World War II, Robeson's political views separated him from most Americans. From this point on, his artistic career was almost entirely political. He only sang for causes in which he believed, as at the Paris Peace Conference.
But Joe, you're 10 years dead. I never died, says he. I never died, says he.
In 1949, he went on a triumphant European concert tour. Between concerts, Robeson spoke out plainly as to what he believed, and there was a severe reaction in the United States.
La 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 la, bye bye. In your mother's arms be creeping, and soon you'll be asleepin'. La la.
There were new changes in Old Man River. The Mississippi was now the old man he didn't like to be.
There's an old man called the Mississippi. That's the old man I don't like to be. What does he care if the world's got troubles? What does he care if the land ain't free?
A little drunk and you lands in jail became you show a little grit and you land in jail.
Sam, that plan, Sam, is soon forgotten, but old man River, he just keeps rolling along. You and me, we sweat and strain, body all aching and wrecked. Show a little grit and you land in jail. But I keep laughing instead of crying.
until I'm dying, and old man Rebar, he'll just keep rolling along.
He also sang the song Chi Lai in Chinese. It had originally been a marching song for the Chinese Red Army and was now the first national anthem of the People's Republic of China, which at that moment was sweeping to power.
Chi Lai, Bu Yun Sun, Nu Di Ran Man, Ba Wo Men Di Xie Zhao, Jiu Cheng Wo Men Xin Di Chang Chang, Jiong Hua Min Zi Dao Liao, Sui Wei Xin.
All right, there's Paul Robeson singing in Chinese. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. One of the greatest Shakespearean actors ever. One of the greatest singers, considered one of the greatest singers who has ever lived. Paul Robeson, we are offering up the boxed set. It comes with 8 Robeson films. It also comes with a book. The pledge level is $250. The number to call is 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. We need 10 more of you calling to meet our goal of $3,000 for this hour, pledging at the $250 level. We need 8 of you calling to get our dollar a day pack. Our dollar a day pack, the Paul Robeson portrait of Portraits of the Artist 4 DVD box set comes along with a book. That's a $250 pledge on its own. Also in the pack is the 30-hour jump drive from Pacifica Radio Archives. That's $200 pledge on its own. So you do the math. Getting them for a dollar a day is quite a deal. Call 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. Show your support for Pacifica Radio. Help to keep listener-sponsored radio viable. You know, Paul Robeson said that Pacifica Radio, when he was blacklisted, that Pacifica was one of the places that truly welcomed him. This is one of the greatest artists who ever lived. But he was also so courageous because he was very popular. When he started out with his career, he was making more money than a lot of the white performers at the time. But because of his politics, he was blacklisted. Listen, he could have just said, let me just keep making money and forget about human rights, forget about ending discrimination, forget about calling out the United States and the UN, forget about going to meet Harry Truman and tell him we need to stop this lynchings that's happening across the country. But he made a political decision that he was going to stand against racism. He was going to stand against human rights and for people around the world. What a lesson for young people. This is some of the truth that young people today so desperately need, and they're craving it. So let's make it available to them. Call 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. I want to quickly move on to another clip, but just to tell you that, you know, one of the films that's in this collection, The Emperor Jones, the Eugene O'Neill, Robeson was starring in Eugene O'Neill's Emperor Jones, and he should have won an Academy Award for that film. He should have, and he didn't. So call and pledge, you know, just for some revenge here. Let's, and, you know, what an amazing thing, a collection of brunches or in-house salons you could have. Invite your friends over and watch these 8 films of Paul Robeson. Call 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. Once I run out, we run out. This is it. They're no longer available anywhere. They're going to appreciate in value. So at the $250 pledge, probably in a couple of months, it's going to be, the value of it will probably be twice that, probably about $500. If you could call and make a $500 matching pledge and you know, gift this to a library, gift this to a school, that would be so very much appreciated. A dollar a day pack, you get everything we're offering, all the Paul Robeson material, the 30-hour jump drive, the 5 hours of Martin Luther King Alone, Cornel West, and others. But I quickly now have to go on to another clip here from Paul Robeson, and you'll see what happened to him, the attack by racists in this country, in Peekskill, New York, you know, simply because Paul Robeson was speaking out. And this is how his career was derailed by racists and backed up by the U.S. State Department.
Speaking out politically in Europe was to erupt in Peekskill, New York. He had scheduled on his return a fourth annual concert for the Civil Rights Congress in Peekskill. However, those who wanted his outspoken voice stilled threatened violence if Robeson sang. Protesters paraded. Despite the threats, on September 4th, 1949, Robeson came to sing. Spectators jeered on the sidelines at the people who came to listen.
There's a group of young boys here yelling at the people stopped in their cars. Hundreds and hundreds of people here, and if there's a serious outbreak, it will be very bad.
Because the concert was ringed with a threat of violence, hundreds of concertgoers volunteered and stood a circle of guard around the audience and around Robeson himself. When the concert was over, the police did little or nothing to avoid a confrontation. Concertgoers were attacked as they left, and a riot developed. 140 people were injured.
Skirmishes are breaking out all over here. The police are fighting the cops. Oh, this is terrible. And they are beating up a Negro. They're clubbing him. He's right here.
After Peekskill, other cities became fearful. Concerts were canceled. Robeson records were withdrawn from stores. Robeson continued to speak out, and condemnation of the man and his beliefs continued. Unbelievably, even his selection years before as All-American end for Rutgers was wiped from the record. The 1917-1918 College Football Hall of Fame listed the only 10-man All-American team in history. The 11th man, Paul Robeson, was eliminated, erased from the record books. Then the Secretary of State canceled Robeson's passport, stating, quote, "This action is taken because the department considers that Paul Robeson's travel abroad would be contrary to the best interests of the United States," unquote. Blacklisted in America and forbidden to travel, Robeson was to spend nearly all of the next decade of his life fighting for his rights and everyone's rights in the courts.
Most important, however, were the questions raised by the State Department as to my political opinions. Here's a question of whether one who wants to sing and act can have, as a citizen, political opinion. And in attacking me, they suggested that when I was abroad, I spoke out against injustices to the Negro people in the United States. I certainly did. And the Supreme Court Justice just ruled, Judge Warren, in the segregation cases, that world opinion had a lot to do with that ruling that our children, Negro children, can go to school like anybody else in the South. I'm very proud to have been a part of directing world opinion to precisely that condition.
Sometimes I feel like a monster.
Because he was forbidden to go even to Canada, thousands of Canadian miners came to the border to hear Robeson sing. But despite these occasional shows of support, in reality, Robeson was effectively barred from the theater, the concert stage, and the movie studios. Finally, in 1958, to its honor, the Supreme Court of the United States ruled that the State Department had no right under law to deny a passport because of a man's beliefs and associations. The fight had been won, but Robeson had lost 10 years out of his life at the height of his career to help win the battle. It was a battle that destroyed his health as well. Once again, he was acclaimed and welcomed around the world. But the years had gone by. One concert to a group of construction workers in Australia tells more of the story than can be written. The words of Old Man River had changed from, "We must keep fighting until we're dying," to, "I must keep fighting till I'm dying."
Watch your lip that fail, show a little grit, and your land's in jail. But I keep laughing instead of crying. I must keep fighting until I'm dying. And Old Man River,
I must keep fighting until I'm dying. That is Paul Robeson, the price that he paid for standing up for against racism in the United States, for standing up for the Welsh miners, for standing up for the Jewish refugees. This was the likes of Paul Robeson, one of the greatest singers ever lived. 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. I have a limited number of this Paul Robeson Portraits of the Artist. It's a four DVD set, boxed set, beautiful box set, but there are 8 films on that box set, and also a book with just the most incredible, beautiful photos of Paul Robeson. I'm looking at one now with just his face and with such determination, with "I Take My Stand," written by Paul Robeson, excerpts of which are also part of this book. I'm looking at a photo now of him standing with the Welsh miners. It's unbelievable. He supported those who were in the Spanish Civil War on the right side of it. Call 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. You know, KPFA, our sister station up north, they had only 16 of these left ever, and they went in about 10 minutes. I've got a limited number of them here. I'm going to check and see if we do have a few more left. Call 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. This is a piece of history. I want to underscore that. This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. This piece of history, you know, no longer available. This box set, it's going to appreciate in value. I can guarantee you that within a couple of months, or if not sooner. The pledge level of $250, you'll be likely having to pay twice that, if not triple that, to get this box set. All of you movie buffs out there, all of you people out there who are budding actors, women and men, you need to get this material. You need to study this material, okay? All the singers out there, all you want to be a singer, you want to be a hip-hop artist, a rap artist, whatever.
212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950.
Now, I know a lot of y'all are listening right now. How about calling and pledging at the $1,000 level and donating, gifting this box set to a library, a high school library? That would be such a wonderful thing to do. Bank transfers are welcome. This part of your pledge will be tax deductible. You'll help to support Pacifica.
212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950.
Emperor Jones, Paul Robeson should have won the Academy Award. He did not. Okay, so help us to, for every generation from now into forever, should really be familiar with Paul Robeson's material. You know, he won an academic scholarship to Rutgers University in 1915. He won 15 varsity letters in sports, baseball, basketball, track, twice named the All-American football team. He received the Phi Beta Kappa Key. He belonged to the Cap and Skull Honor Society. He graduated as valedictorian. He was only the third African-American to attend Rutgers. And then when they blacklisted him, he was dropped from the All-American football.
Call 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950.
It wasn't until 1995, 19 years after his death, that Robeson was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. But a lot of people also don't know he had a law degree from Columbia University. He went there from 1919 to 1923. All the while playing in the National Football League, in the NFL. This is a genius, okay? We have to value him. We have to honor him. We're honoring Paul Robeson today.
Call 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950.
I'm offering up a dollar a day pack. I need three more of you calling, getting the dollar a day pack to meet our goal. You will not only get all of this Robeson material, but you will get 30 hours on a jump drive of Black history, 5 hours alone of exclusive Martin Luther King. You'll get Malcolm X, the Black Panther Party, Paul Robeson, Cornel West, Angela Davis, and much more.
Call 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950.
I want to go on now. In that last clip, it was just horrible. You heard how racist, you know, surrounded where Robeson was going to be performing in Peekskill, New York, started a riot. The police stood aside. They did practically nothing. This is the price that Paul Robeson played for each and every one of us. Don't sit on your hands. Pick up the phone.
Call 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950.
This is likely the last time I'm going to be able to offer this material because they're not making it anymore. We got a limited number of copies. I myself am going to pledge because I want to gift this to my daughter and she could pass it on to the next generation. I hope that you will do the same. I want to go on now to hear from Paul Robeson talking with doing an interview with our sister station, KPFA in Northern California. Let's go to that clip right now, but keep calling us at
212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950.
Well, tell me, Mr. Robeson, was your commitment to the political scene then largely as a result of your feeling about your own people or our own people, let's put it?
Yeah.
Or did it have other overtones of political conviction?
First, it starts as an American Negro interested in my own people. The other great change is very constant in my mind. I was in the Welsh Valley, and the Welsh people sing very much like we do in the Negro people.
Yes, I've heard
many of our songs, beautiful songs. And I was one of the few outsiders who has sung at a Welsh Eisteddfod, their national festival, which has gone on since the time of the Druids. And I went down in the mines with the workers, and they explained to me that, Paul, you may be successful here in England, but your people suffer like ours. We are poor people. And you belong to us. You don't belong to the bigwigs here in this country. And so I today feel as much at home in the Welsh Valley as I would in my own Negro section, any city in the United States. And I just did a broadcast by transatlantic cable to the Welsh Valley a few weeks ago. And here was the first understanding that the struggle of the Negro people, or of any people, cannot be by itself. That it is a human struggle. And so I was attracted then met many members of the Labour Party, and my politics embraced also the common struggle of all oppressed peoples, including especially the working masses, specifically the laboring people of all the world. And that defines my philosophy. It's a joining one of we are a working people, a laboring people, the Negro people. And there is a unity between our struggle and those of white workers. In the South, I've had white workers shake my hand and say, Paul, we're fighting for the same thing. And so this defines my attitude toward socialism and toward many other things in the world. I do not believe that a few people should control the wealth of any land, that it should be a collective ownership in the interest of all.
Is that a democratic socialism, or?
It would have to be a democratic socialism. There are many ways, however, to struggle toward democracy, as I see that in a place like China, for example, today, the Soviet Union, many other places, or take our own problems of Negroes. If we were free in the South tomorrow to carry our weight, to vote into everything, would we now look around and try to find the 10 billionaires among our people? Would we attempt to build them up, or would we try to answer the needs of the great millions of our people? And so I see other ways of life, socialism, as trying to solve the problems of millions and tens of millions of peoples at once, in a way, instead of we would start from the individual to the masses, they start from the masses this way. Now, there are two ways, and there are difficulties each way. I have made the decision to join in a collective struggle, and the reason that my personal sacrifices mean very little in the struggle, in one way, when you see the children of Little Rock, what does not giving a few concerts mean, if you can make some other contribution? It's in that context. So nothing is perfect in the world. We're going toward it from different angles. I feel there's a great burden of proof on every society, on our own as well, today.
Othello came from a culture as great as that of ancient Venice. He came from an Africa of equal stature. And he felt he was betrayed, his honor was betrayed, and his human dignity was betrayed. And so when they come for him from Venice, he speaks and says, "Soft, you! A word or two before you go. I have done the state some service, and they know it. No more of that. I pray you in your letters, when you shall these unlucky deeds relate, speak of me as I am. Nothing extenuate, nor set down aught in malice. Then must you speak of one that loved full wisely, but too well. Of one not easily jealous, but being wrought, perplexed in the extreme. Of one whose subdued eyes, albeit unused to the melting mood, drop tears as fast as the Arabian trees, their medicinable cup. Set you down this, and say besides, that in Aleppo once, where a malignant and a turbaned Turk beat the Venetian, introduced the state, I took by the throat the damned heathen dog, and smote him death. I kissed thee ere I killed thee. No way but this, killing myself to die upon a kiss.
Call 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950.
The last chance to get this Paul Robeson brilliant 4-DVD set, 8 films of Paul Robeson. A special shout out to those of you who are in the film industry. Robeson was not honored the way he should have been by the industry. You can do that now by sharing this material.
Call 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950.
A dollar a day, you will get all the 8 Paul Robeson films and the book that's part of the 4-DVD set. That's not available anymore. It's going to appreciate in value. You will also get the 30-hour jump drive. You could be the coolest woman, the coolest guy in your social circle by having this material and inviting everybody over to watch it and do it as a series, amazing brunch or a Saturday evening event.
212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950.
You be one of the 12 lucky people who could get it. Hopefully you could keep it, but it will appreciate in value. You could pass this on to your children, to your grandchildren. You could gift it as just an amazing graduation gift. Gift it to a local library or a youth institution, you know, where they have hold up these young people.
212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950.
This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. I hope you get our dollar a day pack. Let's honor Paul Robeson. He was just an amazing man. They destroyed his health. The CIA went after him. They drugged him. They made him crazy. He died in Philadelphia in 1957. Let us honor him. We stand on his shoulders. I'm going to go answer your call right now. Get the dollar a day pack. Get the Robeson material. This is Margaret Prescott. Thank you for calling and pledging. Paul Robeson, we love you.
There are moments in a great artist's life which should be remembered forever. Yet, for Paul Robeson, those moments were nearly obliterated, blotted out by the fears and political anxieties which gripped America in the early 1950s. One such moment occurred over half a century ago. Oscar Hammerstein and Jerome Kern wrote a song expressly for and dedicated to a young singer. No one who has ever heard Paul Robeson sing Old Man River will ever forget it.
Old Man River, that Old Man River, he must know something, but don't say nothing. He just keeps rolling, he keeps on rolling along. But Old Man River, he just keeps rolling along. I get weary and sick of crying.
Old Man River was to be associated with Robeson for the rest of his life. The words he sang were to change gradually as Paul Robeson and the world around him changed.
Snowmobiles. If you have a snowmobile, we want it. We also want any extra cars, trucks, SUVs, RVs, boats, and more. Any reason is a good reason to give a vehicle to WBAI. Some do it to avoid the hassles of selling. Some like to skip the costs of repairing, while others just enjoy the good feelings of giving back to their community. But no matter your reason, donating a vehicle to WBAI is a great idea. And it's easy. Here's how it works. Simply call 866-WBAI-CAR. That's 866-922-4227. Or give online at WBAI.org/donate-your-car. Our vehicle donor support team will arrange your free pickup. When the driver arrives to tow away your great gift, you'll receive a donation receipt. Vehicle donations have the potential to drive hundreds and sometimes even thousands of dollars to WBAI. Call 866-WBAI-CAR or visit WBAI.org/donate-your-car.
Do you think this war will ever end?
I don't know. They'll just have another one.
I want to get out of here. Don't you?
Not that much.
So you like it here?
It's not that bad.
You're in a foxhole! What a war raging outside!
I know. That's why I'm sure glad I've got my WBAI.
Be glad you've got your WBAI. Become a member online at WBAI.org. Now, do it now.
Raising money today for the tower fund here at WBAI.
And without that tower, we can't stay on the air.
Please, just give what you can.
And those contributions can be small or they can be large, but those are the contributions that we need to make in order to beat back the other side. No one is going to do it for us.
Even a few dollars a month helps to keep us on the air.
Let's face it, without Pacifica, what do you have? NPR is too milquetoast. PBS, too milquetoast. Without Pacifica, we're dead in the water.
And that pledge line is 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950.
And we're only asking those who can give it, those who can afford it. We know that there's some people out there who cannot afford it, and that's one of the problems. Those of us who relatively have must stand up for those who have not.
I'm sick and tired hearing people complain about, well, you know, the right wing has Fox News and they have this and they have that. The oppressor always has more money than the oppressed. We have to make use of the resources that we have. We have people, and we have people that can make contributions.
Here on WBAI 99.5 FM, we want to have the Tower Fund strong and healthy so we're not worried about it.
212-209-2950. Or you can go online at WBAI.org and donate to the Tower Fund.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly what all of those folks were saying. And I might add is that it's not just Fox News. It's it's corporate media in general, because I know what I'm about to say may be considered controversial, but corporate media, whether it's Fox, MSNBC, CNN, or any of these entities, they don't have your best interest in mind. And I know there's some people that may get nervous whenever I say something like that, but just take note. This here, WBAI here, Pacifica Radio, Pacifica Foundation.